And then two, once engaged in conversation, the other person was standing nearer to you than necessary. As one London female said, they invade your personal space. You either mind or you don't.
Such a London thing to say.
Yeah, but she's, I mean, she's spot right.
On. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's like how every guy goes, what's the line between being creepy and romantic? It's when a guy's hot. And it's like, or it's just when we're into you.
Right.
So you being in my personal space, I'm cool with if I'm into you. If right. If I'm not into you, I'm like, get the fuck away.
Exactly.
Mm. Hey everybody, welcome back to Shooters Gotta Shoot. I am your co-host Erica Spera.
And I'm Molly DeMillier.
And we have a great episode for you today talking about the Hot Ape Flirting Method by Jean Smith.
This is a new one. I gotta be honest with you. I've never heard of the Hot Ape.
No, it actually, like, this method technically was not invented by her. However, she is a flirtologist.
That's her title?
Her flirtologist. She did a TED Talk on it. That's how I originally discovered her. And then I did a deep dive in her website, her YouTube videos. And I found like a breakdown of this method.
Do you like go to school for that, or is that a self-made title?
I think it's like psychology she went to school for, and then she did her dissertation in flirting.
Interesting.
And she's herself has run a bunch of different studies, and she picks different cities all over the world. I think it's Paris, London, New York City, and LA are the main cities she will do her research in.
Yeah, this one had Stockholm, which was really interesting to me. So I was like, that's a different breed of people.
Right.
Cool. Okay. I did not know that flirtology was a, it sounds like a science, like biology.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. That's why she coined her business. Yeah. She is a flirtologist. Her company is called Flirtology. I don't know. I was into it. I mean, all right, let me ask you up top.
Okay.
Do you think you are very good at flirting?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty good at it, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're confident.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. Maybe that's why I'm more intrigued by this woman.
I do text flirting for friends.
Okay.
Like, I'm good over text. I think I can be pretty good in person, too. Like, okay. If I'm into it, yeah.
Well, I think that's how everyone feels. If you're into it, you're more likely to want to flirt. But one of the big things she says, actually, in her TED Talk, is that, like, pressure is the death of flirting.
Yeah, because you overthink it.
Yes. Like, if she's like, if you walk into a bar, wherever, event, and you go, oh, that person's cute, I want to talk to them. Mm-hmm. She said, you are most likely not going to flirt well.
Yeah. And I think, like, the people who have that naturally flirtatious personality, they just, like, they won the genetic lottery, I feel like. Like, because I don't have that. Like, okay. I have more of a personality that I'm, like, self-deprecating humor, but like also I'm gonna destroy you at the same time, so okay. Like we're all gonna feel a little sad until then I have to turn it to flirting. But like sometimes I feel like I've already just made the tone a little sarcastic and awkward and then we gotta pivot. And it's a tough to turn that ship around.
Okay. Would you say you have any tips that you would give people, or any tricks you use personally, other than I guess self-deprecating humor is one?
Yeah, and I think it's a good bit of sarcasm. Like, if my sarcasm lands with somebody, then I'm like, okay, some banter is going to happen.
Okay.
And I think it's in the delivery, too, because it's, like, on the punchline, you got to, like, make the eye contact and, like, a little smirk of, like, I don't hate you.
Yes.
But you're going to want to die a little inside.
That's a stand-up comedy trick, actually.
Oh, really?
A lot of times with, I've been told if you're doing dark material... darker material or self-deprecating, just adding a smile while you say it, it gives people this green light of it's okay for you to laugh at this.
Yeah, that's like all Anthony Jeselnik's stand-up, of like his smile at the end of the delivery, where you're like, okay, you're talking about killing babies, like,
yes. Right? Yes. Or like I know a lot of comedians that like laugh a little bit on stage.
Yeah.
And it like helps increase the laughter in the room. It's like, okay, they're having fun. Yeah. Saying these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, an awkward giggle actually does go a long way.
Yes, very much.
Yeah.
As we mentioned last week's episode, I believe, we were talking about how all men are like on hinge, like, oh, if she laughs at my jokes.
Yeah.
Like, gets my sense of humor, thinks I'm funny.
Yeah, that's just all men in general. Every man secretly wants to be a comic.
Yes. A Larry David / comedian.
That's Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
What a weird combo.
Yeah, last one I saw was like, I'm a mix of Dave Chappelle, Eric Andre, Anthony Bourdain. and like Gordon Ramsay. I was like, what? Okay.
Those people don't chill together.
Yeah. I just love how like a lot of men envision themselves. They're like, I'm a lot like this famous person, trust me.
Yeah.
Okay.
The male ego is fascinating to me.
It will always be fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we get into the meat for this episode, we are sponsored, everyone, by SunsetLakeCBD.com. We've got a promo code for you, SGS20, for 20% off. And they have a Black Friday deal coming up.
They sure do. Starting on Monday, they have 60% off everything. So be sure to check that out on Monday. They got everything for you, your loved ones. Christmas is coming up. I mean, holidays in general are coming up. And also they have products for your dogs.
Yeah. And more importantly, if you've used our promo code before, you can get even more percent off going back, getting your money's worth.
Hell
on Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
So make sure you check out our guys, SunsetLakeCBD.com. They have stuff for you, your dogs, your annoying in-laws, everyone that you're going to be around for the holiday season.
Just give grandma some, or like that annoying aunt, some CBD melatonin.
Yeah, what a perfect day to, to slip some CBD to grandma for when she can blame it on the turkey.
That's how we lose our sponsorship. Yeah,
I mean,
talking about drugging grandma.
Yeah, not, you know, this isn't drugging. This is CBD.
Right. That's cool. Just chill her out.
It's like putting your dog's medication in peanut butter. It's the same.
It's the same thing. Exactly the same thing.
Totally safe. Doctors recommend it.
They do, actually. Yeah. CBD your grandma.
Right. But don't buy CBD from your friend that's at a multi-level marketing company. All right. Scheme.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck them.
No MLM people. All right. Yeah. This is straight from the farm. It's lower cost already. SunsetLakeCBD.com. Promo code SGS20 for 20% off.
And if you want even more off, sauce it on over to the Patreon. Support your girls. You get discounts and more giveaways, more products, and you get to hear the behind the scenes on our lives. There's a lot going on.
You get to hear the coming of the new nickname, The Gem.
Oh, yeah.
How did that come to? The Gem and Music Man. How did we get there?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I never know how we get there.
No. You got to find out on the Patreon. Patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. And support your gals. All right? That's how we keep this business up and running. All right? So yeah, Patreon gang. So thank you for all that have joined. And those who haven't, you are missing out. So
let's hear about these hot apes.
Get on in there. All right. So hot ape is an acronym. So up top, let's just get into it. H, we have humor. Who is surprised, huh? All right, she says, let's face it, people like to laugh. Humor is one of the six signs of attraction, and just as much as we love to laugh, we love to hear people laugh at our jokes.
Sure do.
All right, so of all the cities that she studied, London, NYC, Paris, and Stockholm, she found that in the majority of cases, being funny was a male domain. As one guy says, I like it when she laughs at my bad jokes. There was one exception, and that was New York.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why we live here.
Concrete jungle where dreams are made up, baby.
Yeah, we're hilarious. All right, it says, in New York, humor is an equal opportunity sport. As one guy said, she will say something funny, and then I will say something funny, and another. I could tell we are flirting because we are making each other laugh.
Yeah, it's called banter, sir.
Exactly.
We got a word for that.
Right, or this is actually a great Jared Freed quote, okay, because he's a comedian and with dating, right? He's like, a good date or dating someone is not stand-up comedy. It's not I'm making the other person laugh. It's improv. It's we make each other laugh and we play off of each other.
Yeah.
Which
you got to be able to dish it out and take it.
Exactly. With anything, really.
Yeah.
Like ball busting, competitiveness, you know.
I thought that's what all humor was, just shitting on people.
Oh, well, another great comedy quote, stand-up comedy, humor, something is the butt of the joke.
Yeah.
So it's like Jim Gaffigan made food the butt of the joke somehow, some way. Very hard to do. But yes, usually it's someone / something that you have to have like a bit of an opinion on, you know?
Yeah.
All right. What else it says is, regardless of who is telling the jokes, almost everyone said that humor is a big part of flirting and attraction. Like touch, laughter also stimulates the reward center in our brains. It produces oxytocin, a liking enhancer. As a bonus, when we are in this state, we include those around us in our happy, good-humored euphoria. So it advises, be around people who are laughing and in good moods, and you will reap the benefits.
So yeah, I mean, I agree with this. I have one little beef.
Okay.
I don't like the sample size of her study and the cities that she picked.
Interesting. Okay.
Because, like, this is the PR person in me right now. An actual good study is over 1,000 people. So 250 people from, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 different cities? That's, what, like 75 people in a city? That's pretty small potatoes. So, like, that's, I don't know, that's more of like a doodle poll to me.
Okay.
Than an actual study. So I think it's a little bit of bullshit on that. I think she could have invested more if you're a flirtologist, you know.
You gotta legit science.
Do the science.
She just hit up my GoFundMe man. He got on Ellen.
Yeah. Come on, put in the work, honey. Also, I would be really curious to know the difference between major cities and more rural areas. Like,
okay,
if female humor is actually accepted more widely outside of cities. I would guess not, but I think that would be really interesting to know too.
As a woman who does comedy and travels everywhere, just based on the sheer fact of watching my male counterparts as we travel to these middle of nowhere towns. Okay.
I know exactly what you're gonna say.
All right. Men that are funny will get dates. Mm-hmm. It is considered super attractive. Women are drawn to it. All right. Yeah. So I agree when she says it's more of a male dominant thing.
Yeah. Where ugliest dudes clean up.
Yeah. Like their clothes look like trash. Like they don't even have their lives together. And it's like, oh, but he was funny. They'll get women. Right. Yeah. If I do well on stage, I'm very funny. And I've heard many other female comedians say this. We will not get approached in a dating sense.
Right.
It is usually intimidating, but also we weirdly will also be very respected by men, though. That, like, I will have men come up to me after shows and, like, shake my hand and be like, that was a good job, sir. It's like what I feel like they're saying. Yeah. So they're like, you were funny. I respect you now.
I'm proud of you.
Yes, I'm a proud father.
Yeah. Way to go, champ.
Yeah, I don't want to fuck you, but congratulations. On, exceeding my expectations is really what it feels like. So, yeah, in terms of getting laid or even flirtingness, I could see it being a little intimidating.
Yeah.
So, I get it.
Okay. What do you think about it? Just humor in general, her outline of it.
I mean, I think it's just a huge thing of, like, people that, not even flirting stage, like, are in love with their partners. Usually the number one thing they say is, we just laugh a lot together.
Yeah.
Like, we have the similar sense of humor. Things they do make me laugh. I do things make them laugh. Like, a lot of people will say laughter is, you know, the best longevity. Medicine. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. They do say that. But
a lot of people do say that. I also just feel like the word she's not saying here is chemistry.
Yes.
Like, if you have a shared sense of humor with someone, that's a huge just piece of having good chemistry with them.
For sure. I'd agree.
Scientists didn't get that word.
Okay, how did they miss it? It's right in their face.
It's right there.
It's right there. Chemistry.
What's that other subject?
Okay. All right. Moving on to the next letter. O. Openness/open body language. So flirting behavior, like language, differs according to culture and country. But there is one language that exists around the world. Body language. The science of body language is fascinating. It can be a very useful tool in communication. What is not said in an interaction is often of the greatest importance. No matter how hard we try to hide our true feelings and thoughts, our bodies constantly give us away, leaking nonverbal information to those around us.
I don't like the use of the word leaking there.
Indicating. I mean, there's many words we could say. All right. So being able to read body language can help you understand what someone is really thinking, as well as helping you become more aware of the signals you're sending others. So how do we understand it? There's a few steps. So number one, it's not all about you. All right. So a lot of people, myself included, okay, because I have been told by many people, like, you're unapproachable. Your energy is unapproachable, or you're intimidating. And I will literally ask them, well, what is it that I'm doing?
Okay.
Because I'm like, well, maybe, you know, this can be constructive feedback. Yeah. And they always just go, your energy. I'm like, well, that's very vague.
Yeah, like how do I fix that?
Right. Like, I'm not standing with my arms crossed. I'm like, I smile. I don't, like, a lot of them, they're just like, well, you know, you're really tall. I'm like, oh, well, I can't change that.
Let me cut out out my shins.
Right. So I've been in situations that then I'll feel self-conscious of like, okay, I want to talk to people, or I start thinking of, do I look approachable? But it's very hard to, like, how do you determine that? And then you're in your head.
Right.
So.
And the more you think, like, the tighter your face gets.
Yes.
You know, like, the less chill you are.
Right.
Oh, that's a fun spiral to be in.
Oh, yeah, it is. So that's our number one tip is, instead of focusing on, like, what you're doing, it's just, she says, shift the emphasis from you to the other person. You can't read subtle and informative clues, a slight frown, a nervous rocking, or a clenched fist if you are focused on yourself. Then she says, number two, this is a big one, just look at their feet. You can't control your tone, words, facial expression, shoulders, hands, and feet all at once. So something's got to give. The further away our body parts are from the brain, the harder it is to control them. By the time we get to the feet, the control is lost.
Can I say something?
Go for it.
I don't know if that's true.
Okay.
Because when you think about it, that would be implying that really tall people and people with long arms and legs have less control of, like, their hands and feet. And statistically speaking, aren't those people most likely to be in the NFL and the NBA? And pretty good with body parts such as athletic hands and feet.
Yeah, but then I think that's, like, where true athleticism comes into play, is, like, how well can you control your hands and your feet?
So how do you flirt with an athlete?
That's why athletes get mad pussy. They can know how to control everything and their mind. They're good under pressure. Okay.
Cracked it.
Okay. It makes sense. Because I was like, when you said that example, you know what I thought of? The lanky, tall bitches I knew that were taller than me and just weren't athletic at all. And watching them was, like, so frustrating.
Oh, yeah. Like, we all know those lanky people, but, like, statistically speaking, some of the tallest people with, like, the longest limbs are pretty good at controlling them.
Yeah, but then it's also, like, it comes with training. Like, an example she gave in her TED Talk was talking about politicians.
Mm-hmm.
How she was like, they are physically trained to not give many nonverbal signals.
Right.
They go through extensive training, but that's often where the feet example comes up, is they're like, yeah, but a lot of times that's where they'll, like, forget to think about, because they're, like, behind a podium or something like that.
Yeah. So is it, like, if the feet are pointed towards you, that's a good sign?
Yeah. The next thing she says is, do you want to know if someone is happy to stay talking to you? Look at where their feet are pointing, which I feel like you also indirectly see by people's shoulders.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if someone's shoulders are square to you, usually their feet are square to you. It's just naturally how we stand.
Yeah.
But I've been in that situation of, like, think crowded bar, right?
Mm-hmm.
If, like, you make a side comment to someone and then they kind of just, like, look over their shoulder and say something and they don't fully turn.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, they're not interested.
Right. That's a dismissive, like, I don't want to be a dick, but please stop talking to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the same with someone's talking to you and then you go, oh, okay, well, I'm going to, like, hang with my friends. Nice to meet you. I've been, like, where you can't really move.
Yeah.
So you just turn.
Yeah.
You're just like, my back is to you now. Yeah. So stop talking.
That's why crowded bars sometimes can be a good place to scoop, though, because, like, they might be stuck. You get a few tries.
Very true. Okay. Has another one with arms. Crossed arms. If you are dealing with someone who has crossed arms, do something to make them uncross them. Drop a pencil and ask them to pick it up. Change locations. Give them a hug. Anything. Closed body means closed mind.
This is start carrying some pencils around. I don't think I've read the word pencil in like 10 years.
Right. But this is the first I've heard of try to get someone to uncross their arms. I've just, you know, go by most people of like, oh, someone with crossed arms, you know, usually don't get a great vibe from, or that they're angry or worried about something.
Yeah. This is one that's actually interesting to me because I used to just naturally like sit with my arms crossed a lot.
Uh-huh.
I think it's a sports thing actually.
Yeah.
Or like I would just stand like with my hands on my hips a lot. I'm like, this is a weird body language to be giving off to somebody. So I never really put a ton of thought into it. And so I think I always gave off to people that I was super not interested in the conversation.
Yeah. It actually says, the next line it says is many people reply like when she points it out, but it's comfortable or I'm cold. But it says, if you're trying to make a good impression, it's not about you. It's about appearing open and on side with the other person, and that barrier you are putting between you and them will not help.
So where do you put your arms?
I'm very,
sorry, that was a weird question.
Like I feel like if I'm standing in a bar, I'm not arms crossed, but it is the thing of like now with cell phones, I feel like a lot of times the version of crossing your arms is like having your phone in your hand and looking down at your phone. I would say
that's a really intense version. That's a like, I'm not paying any attention to you.
Right. But I'm trying to think of like a lot of times if you're maybe by yourself or not even by yourself, but like in a crowded bar and like feel uncomfortable, say looking around, usually that's people's first instinct is like, oh, let me just check my phone.
Right.
It looks like I'm busy and I don't look like a loser that's just here not talking to somebody.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I feel like I've tried, if I'm sitting at a table with someone or like at a bar, I try and just like have my hand on my drink because I'm also a little fidgety. So with my arms crossed, I feel like I can be like more subtly fidgety of like kind of like playing with like my nail or something, almost like in my armpit.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's a weird thing. But like when I'm nervous, I am very fidgety. And so like I can be kind of like playing with my drink a little bit, a little more casually.
Last date I went on, I did that. Now that you say that, I didn't even realize it.
Hand on the drink.
I kept like hand on the drink and like moving the glass even when I didn't take a sip of it.
Right.
Or stirring it. Yeah, I'm fidgety too.
Yeah, I love a good drink stir.
Yeah, so sometimes I've like sat on my hand before to not like flail it around.
Yeah, I'm actually saying like that right now. Like sometimes I'll have my legs crossed and I'll like thread like my arm like through them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just move around a little more.
Yeah, the real flirt move on a date if you're across from them is like having an elbow on the table and leaning on your hand is another one.
Yeah.
And something of touching your face. Actually, it might be in this article.
Yeah, it does say something about touching your face later.
Yeah. Yeah, something of like, yeah, leaning on your hand, listening. Like, I think it's something intimate about it. It's almost like, does the other person envision like putting their hand there? Maybe.
And I think it also, like, if you put your hand a little more like towards your mouth, it kind of gets them like looking at your lips.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, have I ever shared this tip? Okay.
I don't know. I want to hear it, though.
Okay. All right. All right. This is, I believe this was from Matthew Hussey, okay?
Okay.
Of when we were in lockdown times, your girl was, you know, binging whatever videos, preparing for the pod. All right. So he said, if you're on a date as a woman, that when you take a sip of your drink, you should look away. And it almost is like it's giving the man an invitation that he's allowed to kind of look at you because you're not looking right at them.
Oh,
but mostly
weird.
Having the sip of the drink draws attention to your lips.
That's weird. I also feel like it's strange to stare someone down when you look at when you take a drink.
Yeah.
So but, like I naturally look away. Like unless you're doing a shot. If you do a shot, you need to make eye contact for good luck.
Yes, as you do on dates. when you're ripping shots, make sure you make eye contact.
I do shots on dates sometimes.
But you want to know something funny?
What?
I did this look away thing on a Zoom date, not really thinking about it, just because it was fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
And the person just kept being like, who are you looking at? Who's in the room?
Where were you looking? Were you looking like up?
Just wherever around my room. But he kept
thinking.
You're
just overthinking it?
Because it was Zoom. Like he was like, who, like, you know, who's overhearing this date? Like,
oh,
who's
my
around
God.
You? And I was like, oh, nothing. And in my head, I was like, I was looking away so you could look at my lips.
Oh my God.
So don't recommend for Zoom.
I think that's one of those overthinking things where like, because when was the last time you took a sip and stared in someone's eyes?
You know what I often do? I often look down.
Isn't that looking away?
I think that makes someone less likely to like look.
What?
It still feels invasive. Even though you're looking down, if it seems like they're more likely to get caught. I don't know. I don't know, man.
We'll
it was
have to
a
ask Hussey, because I don't believe you.
Yeah. I don't
I think you read the tip wrong.
No, I swear this is the tip. He was saying that's the moment he has to, like, take a look at you. It was a combination of having moments where you're not staring right at them, and it gives them a second to, like, look at you.
But what's the difference between down and away?
Like,
I feel
know.
Like down falls in the away category.
It technically
like, it's a
does.
Big bucket, and I think that it gets tossed in.
Yeah. I don't know.
Point I'm trying
I'm not on a date trying to stare at people's lips, so I don't know.
No. I'm just trying to get through it. Well, I think a good thing of this though is the first tip of like pay attention to their body language.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of times we're so fixed on, oh my God, this person's so attractive, I'm really into this person.
Ooh, yeah.
That you're not reading the social cues.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing more infuriating than like being on the other side of that of like, homeboy's just not getting it. Like,
yeah,
like, come on, dude.
Right. Or dating someone. This has been me dating someone and feeling like they never are like physically close to you. Like they don't like being physically close to you, even just proximity wise.
Yeah.
Let alone like any type of touching.
Yeah.
I've been in that scenario of like, oh, I'm always the one initiating touching. And then it feels like a scenario where you're trying to flirt with someone and they don't want to talk to you.
Yeah. It's like, why am I here?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me go find someone else.
Yeah. It's torture.
Gotta look at their lips, Erica.
Right. Well, funny I brought that up because the next one, T, is touch. Touch is the perfect way to increase attraction. Touch is essential to life. Newborn babies die without it. The act of touching and being touched simulates the reward center in our brains. It creates more of the feel-good chemical oxytocin.
Do babies really die if you don't touch them?
I don't know, but I know, like, yeah, when the baby is born, they do the skin time thing.
I didn't know that was to stay alive. I thought this was more like attachment style, so you, like, bond.
I thought it was, honestly, I thought it was part of some study that they're, like, likely to be more intelligent and things like that.
I don't know.
But, yeah, and it's something of, like, yeah, because then they give it to the man, so maybe it is bonding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, this is the first I've heard of they need it or they're going to die.
Yeah, that feels wrong.
We'll have to look that up.
I'm just thinking about, like, all the environments babies grow up in and, like, where you, like, find neglected children yeah. and stuff. I just think they're a little fucked up.
Yeah, there definitely was a study about this touch thing with newborns, and they're like more likely. It was something like, I remember my cousin who was a doctor said this of like, oh, touch time when I went to see the baby, and she looks at me, she goes, some study, they're like more likely to get into Harvard or something. She just said the gist of it, and I was like, I guess I believe it. Like, she kind of was like, I don't know if it works, but worth a try. Yeah. Like, might as well. I'm just here.
God, I bet Lori Loughlin wishes she had that study.
Yeah, damn it, Lauren. She just held your baby more. Yeah.
I don't think it kills them, but continue.
No. Okay. All right. So, as a general rule, the top part of the arm and the shoulder are, quote, safe places to touch. They are personal without invading someone's space. As we stroll down the length of the arm towards the hand, touch becomes more intimate. A slight tap of the hand combined with a compliment and a smile can go a long way towards charming your flirting companion.
This whole paragraph reminds me of that song when you're like going through puberty that's like, stop, wait, don't touch me there. This is my private square.
I do not know this song. This was your puberty education?
Yeah, I don't know, like Girl Scouts or something. It was like, you know, like, don't. And then you, like, made a little square around your vagina. Of like, don't touch me there. It's my private square.
I never got that badge. You didn't know. I was in Girl Scouts. I never did that one. Yeah. I'm not saying it's a bad song. Yeah. Maybe more people need that song in their lives. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. all right. Ready? Listen to this. So this one has a couple studies I found very interesting. Numerous studies have been done on the power of touch. Library goers rated the entire library more highly when the librarian slightly touched their hands as they returned their library cards. Here's another one. Waitresses got 15% higher tips when they lightly touched their customers' arms while handing them the bill. And then according to her research, she said, it is also a very good indicator to people that you are, in fact, flirting with them, as long as you are aware of the impact you're having. Example, you touch them and they shrivel away from you. Touch is a great thing.
Yeah, get out.
Yeah, good thing to read. Which I find sometimes men don't get the hang of.
Yeah.
Like, I've had a guy like kind of touch my arm and I will literally take like a step back.
Yeah.
And then they'll step in one more step. I'm like, nope.
Yeah, especially drunk men. Like, mm-hmm. I was at the bar the other day and I felt like something on my shoulder. I was like, that's not a man nuzzling into me.
Yeah.
Sure was. A man had like nuzzled his head and was just like perched on my shoulder. No. We hadn't spoken at all. And he was just like kind of like passed out drunk on my shoulder. I was like, I'm not drunk enough for this. Like, yeah. Absolutely not. Ooh. And I was like, no, like just kind of like shimmied away. So I was like, he's pretty hammered. Like, I don't want to make a scene.
Right.
And so then I start to move away. And then he just like keeps following me, trying to like nuzzle into me. I was like, what the ew. Fuck is happening? Like,
ew. No. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'd be like, wake up.
Yeah, I was like, come on, boy.
Yeah, come on, move.
Yeah.
Dang.
No, I got shots.
Oh, my God. I'd be furious.
Yeah, I wasn't pumped.
Okay, you know what this actually reminds me of? Specifically, a scene in Friends. Have you seen this scene of when Joey and Rachel both, like, don't have a date or something, and they quote, go on a date together as, like, not an official date. But it's like, I think it's right after she gets pregnant and she doesn't feel beautiful. And he's like, I'll take you on a date.
Yes, as friends.
And then on the date, they're exchanging their own like moves. Like she was like, what's your big move?
Yes.
Joey, like, how do you get people to go home with your BNTU? And I'm blanking on what Joey's thing is. I think he says he just looks them up and down.
Yeah, it's something super sleazy.
Yeah, and she was like, that works, and he does it to her, and she's like, oh, yeah, I felt something. I think it literally was just, oh, it was like when she walks away, he like looks at her or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I remember Rachel's move.
Okay.
Was, she goes, so tell me about your family. And Joey's like, that's it? And she's like, no, like, continue. So he asks him that question, he starts talking about it, and then she'll just kind of continually ask questions about the family of like, oh, would you say you guys are close? But she starts to lightly just touch their arm at the elbow, I noticed. Mm-hmm. And like very lightly and rubbing it and as they're talking. And Joey's just starts opening up. And then, but I see she works her way down to the hand.
Yep.
And then she's lightly circling the hand. And then all of a sudden he's like, whoa, hey! And she was like, right? Creeps up on you. Anyway, that was like burned in my mind.
Yeah, that's a good one. Have you ever tried it?
I have not. But it's also because I haven't been on a date in a minute that I was like trying to be that flirty.
Yeah, it's
does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely makes sense.
Yeah,
because most of them you're like, all right, when's the check coming?
Yeah. Right, or I think this is partly why too. They always say sit next to people, not across from them. Across from them, very hard to initiate any touch.
Really hard.
Yeah, you gotta like actively reach across the table.
Yeah, and like most of the time, it's like my leg is sending something. I'm like, please be the table, like please be the table, like, oh, like I'm not like trying to play footsie awkwardly.
Oh, yeah, that's such a simple one too. Like if you're sitting at a bar, all of a sudden like there's a leg touching your leg.
Yeah,
just a very light. It's like that's a light test of like, do they move their leg away,
or a hand touching the knee when you say something.
Well. Yes, very
much. That's a good one. I like that. That's when you're like, all right, game on.
Yeah. That's or standing in a bar, for me, it's lower back.
Yeah.
I'm like, got him.
Oh, yeah. I love a good lower back. Yeah.
Okay, so there was another study I found interesting. It was called the phone booth test. All right, so it is old, everyone, but chill. Yeah. All right, I found it interesting. It's part of her article here. Okay, so they would place a coin on the ledge of a telephone booth, hide and wait for someone to go into it, and they find it. So basically wherever you would put the coin in, there's a coin near, and they take the coin. And so they would have someone just go into the booth after and go, oh, did you happen to see my coin in here? I needed to make a call, I left it. So upon that interaction, only 23% of the people admitted they found the coin and gave it back to them. So the other half of the study, the coin was put in the same spot, blah blah blah. When the person comes in the phone booth to approach the person that takes the coin, they would lightly touch them on the elbow when they asked the question. And they'd say, oh, hey, I left a coin in here. Did you happen to see it? Then it jumped to 68% admitted to having the coin and looked embarrassed and said things like, oh, I was looking around to see whose it was. Like, I did find it.
No, you're a thief.
Yeah, right.
I would like this study redone at Las Vegas slot machines to modernize it.
Okay. Of like a coin, though?
Yeah, because you put coins in slot machines.
True. I just feel like that's a busy environment. That's a greedy environment. That's very tough.
Yeah.
Where I'm like.
Also, when I first read this, I skimmed over it quickly. And so when it was like phone booths, I was like, oh, London. But it's like, this was done in Minnesota. Yeah. Like, where are there phone booths in Minnesota?
I mean, there used to be phone booths everywhere. It was a thing.
I don't know. It's a weird test to me.
But it asks why the elbow is such a big deal.
Okay, why?
All right, so it says first, the elbow is considered a safe zone because it's far away from intimate parts of the body. Second, touching a stranger is not considered acceptable in most countries, so it creates an impression. Thirdly,
it's breaking social norms.
No, it makes people like more likely to remember you, but it's funny of like, yeah, as a woman, it's like, oh, I'm more likely to remember them because maybe they scared the shit out of me. I'm like, right. And then a man grabbed my elbow.
Yeah.
And then third, a light 3-second elbow touch creates a momentary bond between two people. So it's almost like eye contact is what it's trying to say.
Yeah. It's just weird because it's like, oh, you're really getting this hung up over a quarter? Like, yeah. That's what it probably was, right? Like, we're calling it a coin.
But yeah,
it's
like a quarter.
If somebody calls you and is like, hey, did you find a... Or, like, grabs your arm and is like, did you find a quarter? You'd be like, I'll give you one to get away from me. Mm. Like,
it's almost like the touch throws them off guard, so they're just more likely to be honest, is what it seems like.
Yeah. Maybe.
But I don't know. I found it interesting.
Yeah. Just grabbing elbows at bars now.
I mean, it is a move. That's when it's like touch in general. I'm like, very hard now. I feel like I agree with after you're talking to someone. I wouldn't initiate by talking and touching them.
Yeah. What I like to do is like if I'm at a bar and say like I go to the bathroom and then I come back, I will like touch like the guy's like shoulder, like kind of stroke it a little bit with my nail as I'm going to sit down.
Oh, I like that.
Just kind of like sweep across. Yeah. And it's like a little bit of the back of the neck.
Yeah. And it also is almost a move that like you're slightly using it to balance in a way.
Right.
Is that like, yeah, it's almost like when you touch the back of an airplane chair when you stand up. Oh, okay.
And then like 9 times out of 10, then when you sit down, because what you're doing is you're going across the guy's back and then sitting opposite, right? So you basically move all the way across him.
Oh, okay.
And so then it, as you kind of start to go down, you're like almost going down like the back of his upper arm, and then that almost carries his arm to your thigh.
But you're sitting across from him?
No, so you go like across his back and you sit next to him.
Right, right,
right. So you go all the way by him, basically.
Okay, I was going to say, if you're sitting across from someone on a date, doing this back touch is a bold move.
Yeah, it's tough. It depends on where like you're walking. But no. You're sitting next to each other and you swipe like across his back, basically.
Yeah, now that you're saying it, I've seen women do this when they come back from the bathroom.
Yeah, 60% of the time it works every time.
I just love that, like, I never was like, maybe I should try that.
Yeah, no,
I just was like, nice.
He's going to touch your leg, I promise.
Yeah, you open the touch door.
You basically pull his arm on your leg, like, unintentionally.
Yes.
And because his arm then is just moving and he's too dumb to know what's happening.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you alert some sensory nerves or something.
Yeah, he's just like a dumb animal. Just like, oh, I'm
just a
going.
Dumb animal.
Yeah. He's a hot ape.
He's a hot ape. That's what the study's all about.
Yeah.
Speaking of apes, we are on our letter A, attention. So even though we might not like being the center of attention, we all enjoy being in one person's spotlight. When someone is flirting with you, they pay attention. And similarly, when we are interested in someone, we pay them attention. All right, so in her research, she said people could gauge the level of someone's interest by how much attention they were being paid. This was especially helpful when flirting was done in groups. They said they could tell they were being flirted with if they, quote, were the ones being told the story in the context of a group. People also said they could tell that someone was flirting with them when they ignored their friends and focused all their attention on them, putting them in the spotlight, if you will.
Interesting. I kind of wonder if there's a difference between women giving the attention versus receiving the attention and the attractiveness of that flirtation.
Like if they would be into it or...
Yeah, like success rates, basically. If like, say, I don't know, like two focus groups, right?
Okay.
And in the one, the woman is the one telling the story and giving the attention to the guy who she wants to flirt with.
Right.
If that would be perceived as successful and attractive, and like the guy basically being into it, as it would be roles reversed with the woman getting the attention and being told the story.
What way do you think it would lean?
I think that the woman men want the women receiving the attention.
Okay. So more like rule style.
Yeah.
Of like man pursuing the woman a little bit.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't think you're wrong. I'm just trying to think.
I would just be curious to know the gender breakdowns. And that's what happens when you take a larger sample size.
Yes. True. But I'm thinking of like when I bring girlfriends to parties that are a bunch of comedians, how often a male comedian will come over and be like, hey, I feel like so-and-so's into me.
Okay.
And it's just because my friend is talking to them. Like, it's like the most basic thing. But they're like, am I crazy or is she flirting with me? Is she into me?
Are they talking to her or is she talking to them?
I'd say in that scenario, actually, it is the woman giving the man attention because they don't know a bunch of people at the party.
Okay.
So, but it's just, I mean, I'm intrigued by your point because I'm like, I've seen it both ways of just someone being like, oh, we're at this group setting and I feel like this person's giving me extra attention, whether it's male, whether it's female.
Yeah.
Of just kind of like, I agree with her point of it is flirting.
Oh,
that it intrigues people
flirting.
To go, oh, are they into me?
Right.
In terms of will it work? That's a different question.
Who wins more often, the man or the woman? Because like this is my technique.
You do this.
Yeah, like okay. If I'm into someone, I'm gonna focus on them, and then that's how you end up like cornering it off and having more of a conversation.
Yeah.
But it's like that is basically what women are always told not to do and not to initiate and wait for someone to come after you.
Okay.
But yeah, it's definitely a move.
Or in both counts, I feel like I wouldn't agree with like the whole party be focusing your attention on one person. Because no, I've been weird. There where you're like kind of to someone, but then like they kind of don't leave you alone. And you're like, well, it's a whole party of people. Like, I want to be a little social. Even right. if you're like, oh, I am feeling them and into them. Right. Like then it starts to cross the line of desperate. So I feel like in both cases, I would be like, yeah, do this a bit. But like at some point, yeah, like walk away and have a break. Like give them the chance to miss you, I guess, in a bit.
Yeah. And like if you are talking to a group, don't make it awkward for the other people, because that makes yes. the person getting the attention feel really uncomfortable.
I didn't even think about that of all the times you've been at a party and you're like, look at this girl throwing herself at this guy, or guy throwing themselves at this girl.
Right. Like, or yeah. like if you're there, like say you and I are together and there's like one guy and he just starts to tell one of us a story. It's like, well, that's pretty rude. Like,
yeah.
have a conversation with both of us.
Right.
We're both human beings.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Like, because you can give off your signs without just totally excluding people.
Yeah. That's why part of her advice is saying whatever the object of attention is, or like the group, you need to alternate between like being a part of the group and then doing like that. You say that one thing to that one person.
Yes.
I think
that's and you can get your touches in. Like if you're yeah. staying next to them, you can do a little like side touch.
Yeah. yeah. Right. Yeah. yeah.
You tell and me. Maybe make a joke on something that someone else said, but just to them. So then you have an inside joke.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you're tagging it up.
Yeah. 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 yeah, yeah. Get me at a party.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to go.
I know, right? Like reading all these, I'm like, I gotta go out in the world and do this.
yeah.
Okay. So we're on to the P of hot ape. Proximity. Humans continually fixate on closeness. Needless to say, proximity is one of the 6 universal signs of attraction. When we're interested in someone, we don't want to run in the opposite direction. To the contrary, we find a way to get closer. How else do we expect to ask for their number or get them to ask for yours? In my research of flirting behaviors, the respondents said they used proximity to gauge if someone was flirting with them in 2 ways. Number 1, the person whom they've been exchanging looks with across the room was now standing very near to them. Making eyes across the room can only get you so far. And then 2, once engaged in conversation, the other person was standing nearer to you than necessary. As one London female said, they invade your personal space. You either mind or you don't.
Such a London thing to say.
Yeah, but she's spot right.
On. Yeah.
Yeah. Like yeah. it's like how every guy goes, what's the line between being creepy and romantic? It's when a guy's hot. And it's like, or it's just when we're into you.
Right.
So you being in my personal space, I'm cool with if I'm into you. If right. I'm not into you, I'm like, get the fuck away.
Exactly.
Mm.
This did make me laugh though, of just so specific of like the eyes across the room mm-hmm. and the rules is 1000% like don't even look at them.
Yeah.
That's like what?
That's I've of that episode we did. Every guy I talk to, I literally go, "How do you feel about this?" She told us, "Don't even make eye contact across the room from a guy." And then they're like, "What?" They're like, "That's your green light."
Yeah.
They're like, that's a green light. I go, okay. Number 2, she said like, oh, if he's by the snack table and you want to talk to him, don't even go by the snack table. He's like, well, how the fuck am I supposed to talk to you?
Like, great question.
Like, right. Or to me, that's like a way to shoot your shot if you are more shy, where you're like, okay, I don't really want to initiate talking. But like, yeah, if you stand kind of near them
mm-hmm.
for like whatever period of time, it's like, okay, at no point he tried to talk to me. Like, all right, moving on.
Right. Yeah. Like if you make eye contact and then kind of like slowly move over, they're going to notice like, oh shit, she just got like 20 feet closer. Maybe I'll, you know, initiate.
Right. Or like, man, I think back to like dance party days or like high school dances of like, I would always do like the lap and stop and talk to guys that I would want to dance with.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't ask them to dance, but I would just say hi, like talk a little bit. But it's like, okay, I'm right near you. Mm-hmm. There's a whole dance happening. If you want to dance with me, you could easily just be like, oh, do you want to dance? Like, or, mm-hmm. oh, this song's great. Like something real simple and easy.
Man, you went to a nicer school than I did. We just like busted out. Everybody was pretty drunk and we would just grind on the dance floor.
I mean, it was a whole grinding pit there.
Oh, okay.
You know?
People just would ask you to grind. May I have this grind?
No. No, if you're in the pit, it's a loose ball game.
You just got to get in the pit.
No, people just show up. Yeah.
And you just do kind of that thumbs up, thumbs down. Who's mm-hmm. hot? Who's got me?
But that was my move of if I was in the pit dancing and there was someone I wanted to dance with that was not in the pit, I would leave the pit to just go talk to them and be near them.
Oh, you left the pit.
I would leave the pit.
Oh, you know? That's, yeah.
Especially because like, move. you know, if you think someone's a good guy, you're like, yeah, maybe he won't just dive into this pit and just show up behind me. You know, it's not exactly like, you know, upstanding citizens.
No, definitely not. We had one guy one time, he was so drunk, he ripped his pants in the pit.
Damn.
And then the whole pit like moved and showed that he was in his underwear. It was great.
Damn. Wow.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah. Norwich High School, baby.
We had breathalyzers at our dances.
We did.
We had to take one to get in. So, all right. So the last part of Hot Ape is, drumroll please, E for eye contact. If you feel someone is always watching you, perhaps it's because they are displaying the number one sign of attraction, eye contact.
Suck it, Sherry.
Okay, this is the most prevalent way that people could tell someone was interested in them. Not only could people gauge someone's interest by the way they looked at them, they also used it as an indicator between when someone was being friendly and flirting. There are four specific ways to tell someone has flirting on their mind, rather than looking for a new friend to join their book club. All right, we have another acronym, FLIG, F-L-I-G.
Little weaker on this one,
yeah.
Gene.
Not weaker. Really, yeah. Not really a word. I'm like, now I'm looking at the letters like, we could have made it GILF.
Yeah.
Grandma, I'd like to fuck. More American slang. All right, we'll start with F. So for eye contact, frequency. The eye contact happens more often. L is for length of time. They look at you for a longer period of time rather than a quick glance. I is for intensity. The emotion behind their eyes is stronger. They're not thinking, I wonder what I'll have for dinner. And then G is gesture. The eye contact is accompanied by another gesture, perhaps a flick of the hair, a smile, straightening of clothing, or touching their face. A self-comforting gesture.
Ooh. Interesting. I wonder what that... wonder why that is.
I think it's like, okay, touching someone's face very softly is like an intimate thing. It's often makes people somewhat like relax or feel loved.
Touching someone else's face or touching their own face?
Touching someone else's face.
Oh.
So I almost feel like when you touch your face, it somewhat like mirrors it to them and they indirectly like feel a little bit of that.
Oh, it's like, give me some of that.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's like a little bit of longing of like, I want someone to touch my face.
Yeah. Touch mine. Interesting.
Maybe.
This is why people with really intense eyes or like really beautiful eyes, that yeah. attraction, I feel like, just is there a lot faster.
Yeah. Or friends of mine that have bright blue eyes, if they just have good eye contact when talking to one of my friends and I'll be there for the conversation, mm-hmm. it's not flirty. 9 times out of 10, the guy's like, she trying to fuck me?
Yeah.
Like, she flirting with me? And I'm like, no, man, I think she was just giving you good eye contact.
Yeah. When I use my eye drops more and they get bluer and I make them bigger, it's too easy.
You could tell.
Yeah.
It's a move.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was some psych video I watched that had, it was talking about making the eye contact across the room and about if you make eye contact and you hold it for, I believe it was like 6 or 7 seconds, it fires a part of your brain. Like, it releases dopamine.
Interesting.
So I think this all coincides with that.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, they're interested.
A good little like, looking up at a man and like making eye contact and making my eyes bigger, it's a layup.
Well, that's a whole another theory, and research has been done of the whole why, you know, tall men are attracted to, I mean, men are attracted to women that are quote shorter than them, yeah. and vice versa.
Yeah,
it's like a protectant thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. And I had a guy not recently, but like a couple months ago, and someone I was hooking up with, like, didn't even know if we were gonna hook up yet at that point, and I did that move and he was just like, you can't look at me like that.
I was like, all right, there you go.
Yeah, I was like, you're coming home with me.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah, unfortunately I can't really pull that move, Molly, but you know, I could try.
Yeah.
That's it for this Hot Ape, pretty much.
What do you think of the Hot Ape? Yay, nay?
I think it's a good place to start.
Yeah,
I think it you know, just like reading this kind of gave me a refresher of like, I don't know, I guess maybe just a little bit of confidence in flirting. Of like, yeah. Oh, first of all, one, it really is that simple.
Yeah.
But two, my second thought is like, yeah, a lot of times though, it's just there's no one I want to flirt with.
Would you ever just try it to see if it works?
I have before a little bit done some of these tactics when we read like Never Sleep Alone, that book.
Yeah.
Because one of the big things was eye contact and mm-hmm. just having the other person talk. And just making great eye contact the whole date,
mm-hmm.
that trick does work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a trust thing, kind of. Yeah. don't know. I think it's pretty good. I wish he was a better scientist. That's my takeaway.
Do you almost wish it had like specific things to say and do? Or do you feel like...
I wish there was more demographic breakdowns, because also there's... It's literally impossible that all of these cultures flirt in the same way. I refuse to believe it. Also because I've been to all these cities and Parisians are assholes.
Oh, yeah. Well, she does say that at the end, that every country is different. And especially with eye contact, it says Parisian women say you wouldn't dare make eye contact with a man as he would inevitably, quote, lock you down with his eyes.
Yeah.
Said making eye contact, you're considered too easy.
Right. That's what I said. Parisians are assholes. I don't know. I do have a lot of thoughts on the actual, like, the way this study was conducted.
Mm-hmm.
Then should have been more people.
But the hot ape, I don't believe the hot ape was invented by her, because it was also on, like, psychology stuff I found.
Mm, interesting.
So, but I think it was just she used that in her study to try to, like, narrow down to be a little more specific.
Got it. Yeah, and I just wish there was more parameters around what specifically works more for women versus men in some of these percentages, because like there is just so much research out there that's like women can't do this, or not even research, but like books and recommendations. So like, is the woman just supposed to be doing more of the subtle things of like the touching and letting the man initiate more of the verbal flirting?
Okay, that's fair.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, just reading this or this conversation made me think of just like, you know how you're at a party and it's loud, or you're at a bar and it's loud, and you can just see from across the room that two people are hitting it off?
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what they're saying. You don't know what, like, just from their body language and like, you just feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. Chemistry's in the air sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But irritating. I think that's also why, like, we often chase a spark of this type of chemistry. So, like, if you're on a first date and you don't feel this, like, flirtatious vibe, you're just like not as much into them, or just think, oh, they're not into me.
Right.
But it's also like, but then also like super flirty people, then it's like, that's also the downfall of like, well, why are you flirting with someone you don't like?
Yeah. And that's kind of like what Jared Free talks about, of people who are just really fun and go on like really fun when they drink. They're really hard to get a read on too. Cause it's like, well, this is how you are with everybody.
Right.
You know? So I think those two typically go pretty hand in hand, because fun is usually like more of that humor side too, which is flirtation. So it's tricky.
Yeah. Or in Matthew Hussey's show that he like films women on dates and then like talks about it with them after, there was one girl that she always would laugh at everything, and he stopped it very quickly into the date and was like, why are you laughing this much? This man's not a comedian. like he was like, you just laugh because you're nervous.
But did the men love her?
It's like not really, like she wouldn't really have real connections, and he was like, because you're not giving room for real connection, you're just laughing at everything. And then like at a certain point it's like, okay, you just laugh at everything I say.
Okay,
like it's not genuine, or you're not giving like room for people to really open up or whatever it is. But that stuck with me, because I was like, oh, I thought all men like when you laugh,
right?
I like when they think they're funny. But it's like, oh, but also people can sniff out like, okay, this person just like laughs at everything.
Yeah, you gotta find the line.
Right.
Yeah
So.
Okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah. This was fun.
I thought it was an interesting tip.
Yeah.
If anyone else has any other, like, I guess maybe flirting resources or something along the lines they want to send us to talk about on the pod.
If you know any flirtologists.
Yeah. If you know any other flirtologists.
If you yourself are a flirtologist. Sorry, that's my new favorite word.
No, it's fine. yeah. If you know any flirtologists, mixologists, you know. But yeah.
Biologists.
But any suggestions, you could DM us at shootersgottashootpod on Instagram, or email us at shootersgottashootpod@gmail.com. And follow us there. You can follow me. I'm at Sparica with two A's.
And I'm at the Guaca _Molly.
And we'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye.